from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, so out of Texas practice right now, it's another, it looks like, we'll hear from Sean Pendergast. We're going to hear from Bobby Slowick as well. Looks like offense is having another good day, man. And that ties in with exactly what we're going to talk about today. Stephon Diggs showing a little something. And a couple good plays in the secondary. By the way, Texans not practicing today. Jeff Okuda, Noah Brown, Tegan Quatoriano, Charlie Heck, Christian Harris, Ben Skoranek, Will Anderson, Danico Autry, and Tim Settle. So most of those injuries are going to be no big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal. I think Christian Harris is an injury that they tried to get him back. It maybe was aggravated because he didn't finish practice, I believe, Sunday. And but most of these, not a whole lot to see here. But what you notice on these, on the players that are not participating today, only one is an offensive lineman. That's Charlie Heck.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going right now, because I think it's huge. I'll ask you again, listeners and the guys here, Figgy and Chris, I've given them this answer. But if you had to guess something about this team that we literally have never seen before, something on this team that's key that we've literally not seen once ever, and it might be the most important thing for the team, but certainly on the offense, and that is not once in this season, in this preseason, not once last season, not once last preseason, have we seen a starting offensive line that was supposed to be the starting offensive line pretty much from the get-go, not counting Juice Scruggs, although they drafted him and were hoping he would become a center. Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, Kenyon Green at left guard, Juice Scruggs at center, Shaq Mason at right guard, and Titus Howard at right tackle. That's never happened before.
So they never played a snap
again. Not as well, outside of practice.
Yeah.
Like we've never seen them in the preseason, last preseason, or this year, last year, or this year. To me, that's huge.
Yeah, that's something we've been wanting to see, man. Mm-hmm. They spent a lot of assets, a lot of money to see these five out there on the field together.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we can actually say this is the offensive line. This It ain't Laremy Tunsil sitting off on the sideline.
Titus Howard's not playing guard or injured.
Yeah.
Kenyon Green is not out or underperforming.
Yeah.
Juice Scruggs is now a second year player. And he's not like, oh, I guess we got to put Juice Scruggs at center. No, they want him at center.
Yeah, that's it. That's the position they want him in.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited to see this, man. Mm-hmm. This is something we've been waiting on for years, man. Yeah. Just some consistency at the offensive line position, man.
Mm-hmm.
And look, they spent a lot of money, spent a lot of draft capital. to put this together, and it's finally good, man. And I know this is just, you know, training camp and practice, but
yeah,
it's good to see them out there actually practicing and gelling. And hopefully we can see these guys for at least one series in the preseason before they ramp up and get ready for week one in Indy.
Yeah, and so I mentioned this earlier. I said it might have been since 2013. So I went ahead and looked it up, and that is actually correct, although there was a couple of players. There was one player that ended up moving in. All right, so in 2012, starting offensive line was Dwayne Brown, Wade Smith, Chris Myers, Ben Jones, and Derek Newton.
Ben Jones, that's who I was thinking about.
2013, it was Dwayne Brown, Wade Smith, Chris Myers, Brandon Brooks, and Derek Newton. 14, the exact same offensive line. So not since 2013 and 14 have the Texans gone two consecutive years with the same offensive line.
That's something you want to see, man. Like I said, you got to have that consistency. And
you've gone 10 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. And then 10 years of, like, a lot of mediocre guys, mm-hmm. man, guys that that Bill O'Brien paid, and we like, man, this guy ain't even the fifth best
dude
center in the division.
Let me give you some names here. All right, like, I don't mean to bring up bad memories, but this was the starting offensive line. These guys were on the starting offensive line.
I need a bucket,
dude,
and then we get that trash can so I can puke.
Xavier Suafilo.
Oh.
Greg Mantz.
Ugh.
Julian Davenport. Julian Davenport. Senio Kelemete. Oh my God. Zach Fulton. Jerron Christian.
Garyon Christian.
Garyon Christian. Goodness. Dude, like we're not talking about this enough. No, we're really not. Like, we're talking about, oh, these receivers, man. Joe Mixon, you know, hey, what about Cade Stover? These are all legitimate topics. But if you can get a legitimate starting offensive line that is going to be there this year and next year and beyond, like, everything changes with this squad.
Yeah, and not only that, but just the offense overall, because mm-hmm. we always talked about the receiving core and all that. I felt like the only thing we've really been complaining about and nitpicking a little bit was John Metch, just that fifth and sixth receiver.
Yeah.
We've been nitpicking about that, and then we've been nitpicking the running back, Damian Pierce and all that. That's the only thing. Everything else is good, man.
Yeah.
Everything else is A-OK.
Yeah. But wait, there's more. Kendall Lamb.
Ugh.
Breno Giacomini. I mean, A.J. Can, whatever, he was all
right. Remember Nick Martin?
Oh, God.
And he was the damn near the star out of that whole group. That was the one that was all right.
Yeah. And so Saturday, man, be sure to pay attention to that. And by the way, we're getting hints already. We're getting hints already that this offensive line on the practice field today, going to start Saturday, and then maybe hopefully, you know, sit down the rest of the way, go to Indianapolis, and you're going to have five dudes playing the position that you meant for them to play. And it doesn't seem like any of these guys, especially if Titus Howard stays healthy, which is always the case, and Kenyon Green builds on what he's done so far, like, these guys ain't going nowhere. Like at least for the next couple of years.
This is it right here, man. And this is the offensive line. We talked about that consistency back in 2013, 2014, around there.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to see this same group and everybody locked in.
This year,
it's not like
year.
Somebody looking for a contract right now. So the next two, three
years.
Yeah, this should be the offense. This should be the starting five.
And every coach will tell you, every player will tell you, like, having the same group of guys on the offensive line is a huge advantage. Like, just the consistency, the sort of unspoken language you speak, you know, the comfort level with the quarterback.
Everybody come in, everybody know their job.
Yeah.
And we got a franchise quarterback that we need to keep up.
Yeah. And I was like, kind of surprised myself. I went back and started looking, and I'm like, not once have we ever seen these guys all at the same time. So, of course, the key is going to be two players, Kenyon Green, if he's just average to above average, and Tytus Howard, if he's back to his old self at right tackle. You get those two things, you don't got to worry about Shaq Mason.
Yeah.
You don't got to worry about Laremy Tunsil.
Those guys been doing their jobs for the longest. We never had to question them. Mm-hmm. And I know we kind of had fun with Laremy Tunsil and, you know, target on my back and offsides. But that guy is one of the best tackles in the league.
He's 29.
Yeah. He's got a target on my back.
he's only 29.
Yeah, he won the best tackles in the league, man. Yeah. I would take him over a lot of guys.
Yeah. And I have a hunch that you're going to love you, but not just you, our listeners. You're going to love Juice Scruggs. Dude is just, boy, he's put together too.
Yeah.
Man, his arms are just.
He came in like a pro.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know he was hurt the first couple weeks, but that dude was walking around like he'd been in the league already, mm-hmm. man. And mm-hmm. I know he got a lot to learn, but that dude came in already like a pro. We talked about Kenyon Green, how he came in and. He looked kind of green.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him sitting next to, I think it was Wade Smith.
Yeah.
It was when D'Amico Ryans got in.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked so.
Yeah.
He looked like a high school kid sitting next to Wade Smith.
Kind of doughy.
Yeah.
Like baby fat.
Yeah. And, you know,
clearly a big dude and a strong dude.
Yeah.
But sort of doughy.
Yeah. And he changed that up, man.
Mm-hmm.
So just having somebody like a Juice Scruggs who. Came in like a pro. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Green, who transferred his body to a pro this year. Man, that's a good thing, man.
And you're getting a big endorsement when Shaq Mason, who really doesn't say a lot, just does his job, starts talking about Kenyon Green.
I saw a lot from him. Just coming from the beginning of this offseason, he worked hard all offseason. He changed his diet, his study. Like he's just a whole new player. And I mean, I know that's going to help him take that next step as a player.
All right. So what does it mean then? We talk about the receivers and the running back and the tight ends and obviously C.J. Stroud. If this line is the second coming of, you know, Chris Myers and Wade Smith and Dwayne Brown and Derek Newton and all that. Like, what is the reality of what this offense can be?
I think the reality is you're going to see a lot in C.J. Stroud and those receivers. I think you was going to see that regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But now the thing they struggled with last season was the running game.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we had that argument, is it the offensive line? Every time we criticize Damian Pierce, you say, oh, it's the offensive line fault.
Mm-hmm.
And some people felt like it was Damian Pierce's fault. But if you have this offensive line set up good,
mm-hmm.
and you got Joe Mixon who can do his thing, man, I don't know how you – I said it before. I don't know how you're going to stop this offense. You can maybe slow it down, take away something, but you can't take away everything.
No, we know. I mean, in the NFL and with the schedule they have, I mean, it's not going to be a cakewalk, but they're not going to be stopped if this line is that good.
Yeah.
They're not going to be stopped.
It's a lot of stuff you got to stop on this offense, man. And I don't know if you can stop everything.
Yeah. And right on cue, less than 30 seconds ago, as we're talking, C.J. Stroud, 60-yard touchdown in full 11-on-11 drills to Stephon Diggs. Like this offense, they're getting their offense back. They're getting their offensive line back. And they're looking the part. And the offense is all of a sudden holding on reaching the standard that we talk about. So it's exciting, man. It's real exciting.
I can't wait to see them in preseason, man. Mm-hmm. I just want to see them from one series. If they could give me one series, march down the field, mm-hmm. touchdown, I'm ramped up for week one, man.
Yeah.
I might book a plane ticket to Indy after that. Like, all right, I camp out.
Let's go.
Hey, I'll do the show from there.
Let's go.
I'll be sitting there waiting.
Yeah. So when you look at the numbers, and we can play the game. We know the defense is going to be pretty dang good. But if this line can do what this line has, we've never seen this line, but anyway, what they're capable of doing. We talk about 3,000-yard receivers. I'm not like, oh, get the hell out of here. I'm not saying that's off the table. You can get 3,000-yard receivers. You can get 1,200 combined yards or more from Joe Mixon. You can get Cade Stover, because the line is going to be able to hold its own, so tight ends can do a little more chipping and maybe more into the routes and such when they, depending on the play call. I think you can get there. I know there's going to be people out there, get the hell out of here. I don't think it's that outrageous.
Yeah, no, it's not crazy. If you look at these receivers, all of them could get 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. I think all of them that good where they could get 1,000 yards. And then when you look at CJ Stroud, he can sling the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good chance they could all get 1,000. That could be a stretch because you know you gotta run the ball at times, and if Mixon is that good,
yeah,
then maybe that do take away some of the yards, or maybe take away you know CJ throwing it as much.
Mm-hmm.
But if these three guys was on the team last year, they all could have got all healthy. They all could have got 1,000 yards.
Oh yeah,
I think that's not even a question.
No, not at all. In fact, let me kind of illustrate that for you, because I think a lot of people are you know who are saying, oh, get the heck out of here. All right, well let's talk about this. let's talk about this. I mentioned the last time that the Texans had a fully intact, consistent offensive line. And they had Matt Schaub at quarterback, not CJ Stroud. And this was in 2012. Okay. 2012, Matt Schaub threw for just about 4,100 yards, 22 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. All right. Let's talk about some of the receivers that they had back then. And again, not CJ Stroud. They had guys like Andre Johnson, 1,500 yards receiving, Owen Daniels, 800 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns. Kevin Walter, blocking specialist, still had 41 catches and 600 yards. They didn't have a true number two wide receiver. I mean, like they had just an assortment of guys like Devere Posey and Kevin Walter and stuff like that. Like, when you have an offensive line, you're that much. Oh, by the way, Arian Foster had 1,400 yards rushing.
Man.
That's with that offensive line and Matt Schaub and outside of Andre Johnson and Arian Foster, just an assortment of sort of mediocre receivers. I'm not going to listen to you if you don't think it's if you're saying it's not possible with this offense, with that good of an offensive line, can't even surpass those numbers.
Yeah, I think it's 100% possible, mm-hmm. man. And I don't want to be that person to you don't know ball if yeah. you think it's not possible. But, man, it's hard for me to look at this offense and say, you know what? Nah, they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I believe in CJ Stroud. I think they could do that.
Yeah. All right, let's get to confessions. I got one that's going to be certainly showing my age, but I think it might even be showing Figgy's age here. Let's get to confessions next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Confessions brought to you every day by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It's the real deal, man.
Yeah.
It's the real deal. By the way, our new co-host, which starts on Monday, he's a whiskey guy.
Oh, okay. Who's the new co-host?
Yeah, well, we'll let you know. We'll let you know.
Gotta wait till Monday.
Monday, 10 a.m. The big reveal, as the big voice guy says. All right, let's get to confessions.
Watch this.
This makes me feel old, which, okay, I get it. I think it'll make you feel old. Not Chris Santiago. That dude graduated in 2021 from college. But that's how it came up. So I was kind of laughing in the family text. I said, I found out a little more about Chris Santiago. One thing, I said, he graduated from college in 2021. 2021.
I was washed up then, man.
2021.
I wasn't even in my heyday, man. I was clearly washed up, retired in 2021, man.
2021, he graduated from college?
It took a little while, but hey, I graduated. So
he graduated when Jack Easterby was here. He graduated college when Easterby was here.
Man.
So I kind of having some fun with it when the family text, because my kids are your age and 33, I think, and 30, yeah. No, 32 and 30.
It's around my age range.
Yeah,
around we all would have been in high school together.
Yeah. So I said, he graduated in 2021. Can you believe that? And my wife texted this text. So are you familiar with, well, let me tell you the story first of all. There's a teacher that she's working, that works for her. And my wife went up to her and said, hey, I hear you're a Canvas expert. Can you help me with this project, this art project? And the teacher says, no, I think you mean Canva. So Canva, it's kind of like, it's an app, right?
Well, it's an app website,
yeah,
where it's kind of, I would say, a cheaper and easier version of Photoshop.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was one that made her feel old. She goes, oh, like it was an art project, Canvas? No, yeah. I think you mean Canva. So then there's another message in the family text that says somebody that my son-in-law hired told him with a straight face, because he said, can you mail this?
Oh, man.
Told him with a straight face, I have never addressed or sent anything in the mail.
What?
How is that possible? I guess it's possible.
I guess
Gen Z, man.
I guess so. You mailed anything?
Not in like years, but I know how to. But it's just like, it's Google, yo.
Never addressed or sent anything in the mail.
Yeah.
Do you feel old?
Yes, I feel old. I 100% feel old.
That's incredible.
Yeah, nah, it's wild how all the stuff we used to do. It's funny because I had an aunt who called me like 2 weeks ago for the first time. I haven't talked to her in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she still had the same house landline number that I remember back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It was an easy 271-4227.
Oh, yeah.
Just an easy number. I'm like, you still got this phone? And she was telling me like everything she did. She's like, I don't know nothing about these high-tech phones and apps and all that stuff. She was just so old school. And she go to church and all that stuff too.
Yeah.
And she like, yeah, they be talking about pay your tithes with PayPal and Cash App. I just put my little old money in the envelope and keep it moving. I'm like, dang, you ain't got it like that no more,
there
man.
There are adults working that have never addressed or sent anything in the mail.
That's really wild, man. I can't believe that. That's crazy.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So I came across this tweet from talking about Dana White, UFC president Dana White, and how he completely changed his life in 3 days. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So they said he did an 86-hour water fast that claims he can lower his chances of getting cancer, Alzheimer's, and heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed a before and after picture of him. You know, he was kind of cut up already.
Yeah, but he was just an old guy body.
Yeah, he got
a healthy old guy.
Yeah, he got a, like, he looked built. He got a, you could tell he worked out. He got a six-pack and all that.
Yeah.
But then the other picture is like him totally cut up, like he ready to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
I got to confess, man, I've been waiting on the community notes to hit this tweet for a minute now to say, hey, this ain't true, because I don't believe this, man. So he changed his life in 3 days off of an 86-hour water fast.
No, that's Photoshop.
I refuse to believe that.
I don't either. I saw it.
See, the,
like, his abs look like freaking... I don't know, like a professional athlete, like, I don't know, Noah Lyles, you know, like.
I'm just waiting on the community notes to say, nah, this ain't real.
Yeah.
I don't believe this, man. I'm calling cap on this, man.
Yeah, I totally agree. Oh, you may see it tomorrow.
Okay.
The speaking of which, cap or no cap tomorrow.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So remember when I told you the story about our vacation last year? And we went again this year to Canyon Lake. We go as a family. And I floated the river. And I did the rapids. And I had an absolute blast. And I did the hour and a half, whatever it was, float down the river, did the rapids, you know, drank my beer, had a good time. And then I walked out and I said, that's it. I'm retired. I'm retired from the river float. I've done it my whole life. I used to cut school, going to Guadalupe or the Comal. And just, I know you've done some of this, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a blast.
It's so much fun, especially in St. Marcus.
And some of the, with the river low, the rapids were like really beat you up, and it's a blast. And so last year I said, I retire.
How about this? How about you unretire and I'll take you to a good spot in St. Marcus where you don't even, you're on the river, but you don't have to float it. You could just bring a beach chair and just set it down and just drink.
But I'd rather float.
I promise you that spot is such a good spot. I found it during
COVID. Are you in the water? Can you be in the water?
Yeah, you're in the water. You can sit down on the water and you don't have to float. You can just chill.
But from the tubes and the rapids and the hard floating, I retired last year, okay? Mm. So here's my confession. Another thing that I really, really love, like really love, is, and I have my whole life from a youngster all the way through, is roller coasters. I ain't riding this roller coaster.
I seen that. I was actually going to bring that up as a confession too. I could piggyback off of your confession.
I might have retired from roller coasters. This is called the Black Hole, and it's in Italy. And are you seeing this, Chris?
I see it.
Yeah, I ain't doing it.
Nope.
Dude, I was a roller coaster guy.
I am. Like, I was.
I would hop on anything. I don't care. Pause. I would hop on anything. Yeah. But man, when I seen that, I'm like, man, the game ain't in me no more, man.
That's right.
Like, it ain't in me no more. I can't do that, man. Yeah. I get a little sick looking out these windows. We on the 19th floor.
Yeah.
And I get a little sick just getting close to the window.
Yeah.
I can't do the roller coasters.
I'm telling you, I loved them. Just like River Rat, I would go, like I said, I cut class, man. I'd go all the time. But yeah, I'm retiring from that roller coaster.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Man, remind me to never even consider trading or signing a receiver from Pittsburgh. I think they need to do a deep dive on all the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers receivers during the Mike Tomlin era.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually wild how many receivers they had, and once they went elsewhere, they just
nothing.
They just vanished, or they just went crazy, man.
Yeah.
You got Antonio Brown, and we see how he was in Pittsburgh, and then how that eventually ended.
Yeah.
Just random ass names like Mike Wallace. It's like, oh, this dude was a beast.
Oh, he was so good.
Yeah. And then it's like when they leave Pittsburgh, it's just, they're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Juju Smith-Schuster. that guy was good. I know he won a Super Bowl, but yeah. That guy ain't been the same since he left.
I mean, imagine going and playing with Mahomes and you're not good at all.
Yeah. Like,
that just shows.
Yeah, he just got cut by the Patriots, too. Mm-hmm. But you got Deontay Johnson, mm-hmm. Chase None Claypool. Of those guys. None of them. All of these guys just went nuts, man. Martavius Bryant, I think he just got signed after being out the league for a little bit.
Yeah.
I need to see this documentary. They should be making a documentary.
How they do it.
Yeah.
Like the Astros with pitchers.
Yeah. I even throw in Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. It's just saying like they get the best of these guys, mm-hmm. and they play good in Pittsburgh. And once they leave, they just go crazy, man.
Yeah.
They really need to make a documentary about this, man.
Yeah,
I would be so intrigued, but I would never Mm-mm. trade for a wide receiver or a running back from Pittsburgh, man.
I'm with you. Watch this. These are my confessions. I've changed my mind on the whole Jordan Chiles thing. So I'm sure a lot of people, if not everyone, is familiar. Jordan Chiles won the bronze medal fair and square. Had the higher score, according to the judges, had the higher score. But if she was 4 seconds late in pointing out the judge's own mistake, that's key. Like, she pointed out, hey, no, the difficulty level, her coaches did, the difficulty level was this. And I've been saying for the last couple of days, you know what, it stinks. I guess I'd give the medal back. I would not. I would not give the medal back because the IOC is saying, they're not even going to hear the appeal. They're not even going to recognize that their own mistake is the reason she, as we like to see on bumper stickers all over Houston, come and take it. Come and take it. You want this medal? Come and take it.
That's the issue I had with it, man. It's these judges that don't want to admit they were wrong.
Yes.
Sometimes you make bad calls. You see it with referees a lot, mm-hmm. officials a lot. Whenever they make a bad call within the game, you know, you can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And later after the game, they say, hey, we actually messed up on this call.
Yeah.
But they don't take back the game or they don't try to change the outcome of the game.
Yes.
You just got to move on, man. Like, I don't know why they doing this. They making it more difficult than what it is, mm-hmm. man. I think at this point, I'm sure everybody just want to move on.
Yeah.
Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I just don't get it. That's just them being, they don't want to admit they look bad doing this.
You got another one? Watch this.
These are my confessions. I got to confess, I've been enjoying my last 2 weeks doing the show, man.
Hell
doing
yeah.
a show like this.
Hell yeah.
Little backstory, I never wanted to be a host for a sports talk station, but I'm kind of leaning more into it now, man. I can see myself doing this a little bit more. I don't know if I could do this full time because, dog, I'm running out of takes at this point. Nah, but look, recently they did the Texas Hall of Fame and some mm-hmm. Houston sports legends got in, and that kind of made me think, like, dang, man, I want to get to a point where I could be considered
a
Texas Radio Hall of Famer.
You could,
man.
Anyway, no matter whether you're behind the glass or in front of the glass.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I just want to say, too, salute to those Houston sports legends, man, getting in the Hall of Fame. Well-deserved. Shout mm-hmm. out to somebody I look up to personally. She's not in the sports part, but she's in radio part, Terry Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just cool to know people that's in the business like that. And get to a point in their career where they're considered Hall of Famers in their field.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to be there one day. And look, man, I
look at you putting me in the Hall of Fame.
Hopefully I'll be there one day, man. Yeah. It's a cool feeling, man, just being at the Hall of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, seeing Andre there and seeing how happy people are when they get in.
Yeah.
And I want to experience that one day, man.
Hell yeah, you should.
I know I got some years to make up, but I hope I get there, man.
I think you will. And I'll be there to cheer you on. All right. Let's get to Texans practice. Sean Pendergast is going to be joining us. We're going to hear from Bobby Slowick. By the way, a couple of texters. One of them says, I'm 34. I've never sent anything in the mail. the hell is going on in this world?
Man,
what the hell?
34. What was you doing? I know your mama was probably doing it or something,
what
man.
What are you doing?
My mother used to send me to the store, to the mailbox. Yes. The mail, so. Man.
All right, let's get to Texans practice. You'll hear it live next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, let's get out to Texans practice. By the way, Stephon Diggs is having a day, baby. He is, by all accounts. DJ Bieniemy, Jonathan Alexander, by all accounts, just tearing it up.
Mm.
We talked about the offensive line. It's Diggs as well, of course.
Yeah.
But this offense is intact. And the offense has had two big days in a row against a defense that's pretty much had their number the whole time. So, like, he's had – I'm going to ask Sean Pendergast about this. So, I saw one tweet. Stephon Diggs just scored a 60-yard touchdown. That's the one I mentioned on the air.
Yeah.
Another tweet said 65 yards. Sean Pendergast said 70 yards, or maybe I have that backwards. So, he either had a 60, 65, or 70-yard touchdown reception. This offense is making some hay today, man.
Man, that's something, man. See, that's why I just want to fast forward to week one, man.
Yes.
Look, as much as I enjoy watching practice and seeing these cool plays and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm ready for a real doggone game, man.
Well, and it also speaks to why I just don't feel like preseason games are that important. I do want them to get on the field. They did in last week and last Friday. They will this Saturday. And then shut it down, man.
Yeah.
Just shut it down.
I think so. I think if they go by my logic, they should be going by my logic. If they if they march down the field in this game, score a touchdown, wrap it up.
I may want to give them another series. Just get them in the groove. That's it. Let's wait till then.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this offense is clicking right now.
Yeah, that's a good thing, man. That's a very good thing.
Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing with the offense, and as I mentioned, we're going to hear from Bobby Slowick shortly. This offense right now, not just the offensive line, Cade Stover, man. Cade Stover's making some noise again today. Do you feel like, well, I shouldn't even ask the question. Let me tell you what I think, and you can see if you agree or not. I think we have our two tight ends.
I think so, too. I think so.
Yeah, I think we have our two tight ends. Let's go to Sean Pendergaster right now, because it's pretty exciting from where I'm sitting, Sean, man. I mean, this offense, I don't know if you've been listening. You've been busy. You've been watching practice, but this is the first time ever we're going to see this offensive line intact. They're out there right now. The offense has everybody on the field, pretty much everybody on the field. And lo and behold, the offense has had two big days in a row. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, for sure that's what I'm seeing. And today was even bigger than yesterday. And today, the theme for today was Diggs.
Yep.
Diggs, and more Diggs, man. Like all over. In the one-on-one drills, which probably you guys may have seen some of the video surface of Diggs. They were all red zone for one-on-ones today with the wide receivers and the DBs. And Diggs ate Kamari Lassiter's lunch on a couple of plays. Mm-hmm. And in the 11-on-11, it was the Stroud to Diggs show. And the highlight was a 70-yard bomb for a touchdown. I think in team session three, you guys know from being out there, they do typically do 4 10-minute sessions of team, and you know they take turns within each of those sessions, the ones, the twos, and the threes. And CJ, it was funny because Diggs catches this bomb. It's about a 60-70-yard bomb, and he's behind the defense, so it would have been a touchdown in the game. And it's hard, you guys know, at ground level at practice, sometimes depending on where the players are all standing, it's hard to see everything and who got beat and things like that.
Yeah.
And I just look at Cody Stutes on that touchdown. I said, who did he beat on that? And Cody looks at me and says, everybody. Because that's what it looked like. There were three white shirts chasing after him.
Mm-hmm.
If C.J. Stroud gets time this year, Stephon Diggs is going to have a monster, monster, monster year. It was all Diggs today, man. It was cool.
So we was talking a little bit earlier about the three receivers, the big three. And how we think it's a strong possibility that they can all reach 1,000 yards. Do you think that's possible at this point?
With health for all three, definitely possible. You know, it's funny. We've talked about that on Payne and Pendergast, Figgy, and we've actually done the research on it, and it's happened maybe a half dozen times in the history of the league where a team has had three 1,000-yard receivers. What's interesting is most of those teams were not all that great. The only one that made the Super Bowl out of all those teams was the Cardinals in 2008 when they had Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald, and here's a trivia question or answer for you, Steve Breaston.
How about that?
All go for 1,000 yards, and that team probably shouldn't have even made the Super Bowl. That was a 9-7 team that kind of caught fire in the playoffs with Kurt Warner at quarterback. So I definitely think it's possible, but I think in a perfect world, if this team's going to be a team that can compete for, you know, supremacy in the AFC in the regular season, I don't know that they want it that way, because in theory, I think you want to be running the football a lot in the second half of games to put games away. So I almost feel like if they have three 1,000-yard receivers, that's probably something is glitchy somewhere else. Because I think
even though
they've got one of the best quarterbacks, is they want to run the football, you know. So, all three of these guys are definitely 1,000. I mean, all three of these guys, Tank, Nico, and Diggs, are all 1,500-yard talents. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my thing on that is just it would be cool. I it's not like to me like, oh, yeah, they got to get 3,000-yard receivers just because that makes them great or whatever. No, I just think it would be like really cool. And I know that's very rudimentary, but it is. And I'm just going to go back to like what I said. Like, I was amazed. When they acquired him, they people were like, who's going to be the number one wide receiver? I was like, get the hell out of here. It's Stephon Diggs. I mean, I'm no disrespect. And Tank Dell may lead him in touchdowns, and Nico, you know, may lead him in yards. But Stephon Diggs is the number one wide receiver, and we're getting closer to the season. It looks like you're seeing it out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it looked like that today for sure. They probably care. I know they care a whole lot less about that than people like you and I do, John.
Oh, yeah.
What we do is who's got the label of number one receiver. Now, the people that do care, gamblers and fantasy owners, they absolutely care who there's fantasy owners right now that have gigs in keeper leagues that are taking the rest of the day off to go drinking in a good way based on what I just said about this practice out there today. But Nico made his fair share of plays. You know, Tank was the guy yesterday. Like, this thing's going to get passed around quite a bit. And I was talking to Clint Sterner about this just 5 minutes ago. We were talking about Nico, and Clint really likes the way that they've been using Nico here in the preseason and at training camp. And the way they're using him may actually result, I mean, in all likelihood, his stats are going to go down just because he had a killer season last year. And there's really nowhere to go but backwards for Nico with all these mouths to feed. I think it's a really good thing they paid Nico. I know Nico doesn't have an agitator's personality, but when you're talking about the difference between the last year of a third-round contract and having top wide receiver money like he got, I think the fact that Nico got that contract extension probably helps ensure peace in the room. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing about today that I wanted to ask you about is I just was talking with Figgy before you came on, and you may have heard it. Like, I feel like we now know they're two wide receivers. They're two top wide receivers, and it's Cade Stover on the other end.
Well, two tight ends. No,
two tight ends. My bad,
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the feeling I get, Dalton Schultz was always going to be one of them. They paid him, and he deserves to be one of them. He was their number one tight end last year. I think I just see Stover as a bigger part of what this offense wants to do and fitting more the identity of what they see this offense being than Brevin Jordan does at this point. And it doesn't mean Brevin Jordan doesn't make the team. It doesn't mean that they don't have a few plays in the playbook that are Brevin Jordan plays. I think they really like Brevin Jordan too, but he's kind of a gimmicky play thing. Whereas opposed to Cade Stover, who despite only playing tight end for 2 years, looks, feels, and plays a lot like an NFL tight end. And he too made a few plays today as well. And he's getting reps with CJ out there and stuff. So I think Yeah, I think when they line up in like a traditional 12 personnel, two tight end sets, it would not shock me in week one if it's Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz out there.
All right, last thing, and we'll let you go and do your drinking.
Okay.
That is, like, what else? Like, what else really stood out today? Because I'm watching some of these highlights, and it's not like the defense was completely just overwhelmed. I mean, the offense just had a really good day. Some of the plays that that Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter made were obvious there today. It seemed like from where I was.
Yeah. I think you touched on it. You nailed it. That's exactly. Kalen Bullock's starting to climb the depth chart a little bit. He's out there with the. He wasn't out there with the first team defense like base or nickel, but he was their safety out there in dime today with Jimmy Ward and Azeez Al-Shaair at linebacker. Like all the guys who are going to be on the field in crucial third downs in the regular season, that's who Kalen Bullock was out there with today. That's my other takeaway. My takeaway defensively, Stingley had another good day today. Stingley, like to me, this training camp it's like if we're giving out training camp offensive and defensive player, if we're giving out the OPOTC and the DPOTC, of training camp, it's probably Diggs on the offense and Stingley on the defense.
All right, man. Knocked it out of the park. Really appreciate it.
And Miles Bryant had an amazing interception.
He's pushing okay. Jalen Petrie. He's pushing Jalen Petrie.
Number 30. Number 30. No, it was off of Case Keenum. It was a sick interception. It was nice. So I don't want to leave that on the cutting room floor. Miles Bryant, he's competing for a roster spot.
He sure is.
So I got to give him his acknowledgement, yes.
No, he absolutely is. All right, Shawnee, thanks.
All right, fellas, see ya.
Time to get a little excited about this offense, man. Time to get a little excited about this offense. And I guess speaking of which, we have Bobby Slowick coming right off the field. We're gonna go ahead and do that around the NFL next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.